It's time for Mac Geek Gab because there was a keynote today and we have a lot of things to talk through. New iPhone 16 and Pro, new Apple Watches, new AirPods Gen 4, and lots of software tweaks that really seem to enhance existing hardware and new hardware. The big question, what will we be buying? And maybe that'll help you decide what you'll be buying. All of this today on Mac Geek Gab 1054 for Monday, September 9th, Wonderful Weirdos Day. Boy, are we in the right place, 2024. And welcome to Mac Geek Gab, the show where we usually answer your questions and share your tips and cool stuff found. As I said, today we are going to be talking about the Apple event and digging into all of that. Sponsors for this episode include 1Password Extended Management at the number 1Password.com/MGG, as well as BBEdit at barebones.com. We're going to talk more about each of those in a little bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And here in South Dakota, I'm Adam Christensen.
And here in Boulder, I'm Jeff Gamet.
And here also in New Hampshire, it's Pilot Pete. Good to be with all you guys today. This is cool.
Here we are.
Yeah.
9-9. No. The last time there was a major Apple thing on 9-9, or maybe not the last time, but one time there was a major Apple thing on 9-9, it was when the Beatles catalog came to Apple Music. Right? Didn't that happen on a September 9th?
Been a day or two ago, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was September 9th when it was all of the Beatles things. Like they released a lot of stuff, but I'm pretty sure that was it. I don't know. I had that swimming in my head as I was prepping for this Apple event thing. So I had this crazy idea. What if we start this episode by asking each of us what we're buying, if anything? And if you're unsure about something, that's fine. We won't share our reasons for this yet. We'll do that through the episode. And then at the end of the episode, we'll ask the same question again and see if anybody's mind has changed or made up by what we're doing here. So,
Dave, that's crazy.
I know. That's why we're going to do it. that's Pete. You've been here before, right?
Yeah.
Adam, yeah. you want to start here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be getting an iPhone 16 Pro.
Okay. And nothing else. That's the one thing.
No, not interested in anything else.
I was going to say, are you on the fence about anything else? But it's a no. All right. Okay. Pilot Pete, do you know what you're getting?
Well, I was hoping Adam was going to buy me an iPhone 16 Pro Max, but you know, no. So I'm a maybe on the iPhone 16 Pro Max. I am a definite on the Apple Watch Series 10. Not for moi, but I don't know if you remember, they were talking about the new band on the Ultra. Well, for my daughter. She lost hers in the Mediterranean. So we'll be getting at least one of those. And I think the AirPods Pro...
Okay.
Not the AirPods Max, the AirPods Pro for me.
All right.
So, yeah.
How about you, Mr. Jeff Gamet? And thank you for joining us, Mr. Jeff Gamet. You just joined right in the flow of things I didn't even get to say. And welcoming Jeff Gamet. So, welcoming Jeff Gamet. Do you know what you're buying, Jeff?
Hey, Dave Hamilton. It's so great to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, you invited him? I thought he crashed us.
Thank you for letting me crash. Okay, so I haven't fully committed yet, but I'm going to pretend like I have, because why not? And I probably have committed. I just haven't emotionally accepted that yet. iPhone 16 Pro, and while I like what Apple's doing with Apple Watch Series 10, I'm having a hard time coming up with the reason why I should replace my iPhone, Apple Watch Series 10, why I should replace my Apple Watch Series 8 with the Series 10.
Oh, okay. All right. and an Apple Watch Series 10 as a maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got a maybe there. Yeah. So, all right. And I am undecided on all of it, but I probably an iPhone 16 Pro for me, but it might wind up going to Lisa instead, and I'll keep my 15 Pro. I'm not sure about that. What we'll discuss as we get through things.
Lisa doesn't want it, you know.
I have AirPods Pro Gen 1 that have a buzzy speaker, so I've been thinking about AirPods Pro Gen 2. I was kind of on the fence. I was certainly waiting until the announcement to do anything about that. I do have AirPods Gen 3, and I love those, probably even more than my Pro Gen 2, my Gen 1s. But I'm probably also going to buy AirPods Pro Gen 2 for me. I bought a set last year, and those went to Lisa because her AirPods were shot. But there's some reasons for this. I'm probably for an iPhone 16 Pro and also an AirPods Pro Gen 2. So that's where I am. So adding all of this up, it looks like our order of operations today will be iPhone, then AirPods, and then Apple Watch. I'm in. All right. Adam, you were the most definitive on this.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the iPhone. And you said the 16 Pro is what's going.
I never get the Max. They're already too big. And actually one big disappointment on my part, although I didn't look at the physical sizes. So maybe the physical sizes didn't change that much, but the screen sizes did. So it was like 6.3 and 6.8 or 9. I can't remember what the larger size was, but yeah. They keep making them bigger.
Yeah, 6.3 and 6.9 on the pros.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, so I already think the one I have is too big.
Yep.
I don't need it to be as big as it is, but yeah. And I just haven't had time to check the specs since the launch to see if the physical size stayed the same as the current.
All right, well, let's look at this. So
versions, I think, right?
Up on my screen, for anybody watching the video, but we'll talk through it for everyone on the audio. I have the 16 Pro Max, the 16 Pro, and the 15 Pro. And I am scrolling down. Okay, so the 15 Pro is 5.77 inches tall and 2.78 inches wide. The iPhone 16 Pro, and that's a 6.1 inch screen. The iPhone 16 Pro with a 6.3 inch screen is a little bit taller at 5.89, so 0.12 inches taller. Yeah, tenth of an inch taller.
3 millimeters for those of you that use real measurements.
Thank you. And 1 millimeter wider on the 16 Pro versus the 15 Pro. They are the same depth. And
so just slightly big enough to make you have to buy a new case.
Mm. Well, you'd have to buy a new case anyway because of this. What are they calling
the
button?
The new button
camera control.
Yeah. The camera control button.
Action button, and
yeah. So this camera control button is interesting. I noticed on Apple's case when they were talking about that, they said this case works, and I'm reading from their website for the they're calling it a Beats iPhone 16 Pro Max case, which I don't know why the case is Beats branded, but that's a whole other conversation. This case works seamlessly with camera control, which for those of you who haven't watched the keynote, there's a new button on both the iPhone 16s and the iPhone 16 Pros called camera control. And we'll talk more about all the things that it does, but in general, it's camera control. It is a capacitive sensor, so you can slide your finger across it to control things like zoom or features. And therefore, you either have to be able to touch it or whatever you are touching needs to be able to pass capacitance through it. So Apple's website says this case works seamlessly with camera control. It features a sapphire crystal coupled to a conductive layer to communicate finger movements to the camera control button. They didn't say button. I used the term button. Apple's not calling it a button. They're just calling it camera.
That's a whole lot of...
I'm having issues with this camera control button.
Let's talk about the camera control button.
Yeah. All right. So what Apple was showing with it, I kept looking at this thinking, okay, this is cool. This is really useful. Too bad I'm left-handed because the positioning of the button is designed clearly just for right-handed people.
You could use it with your thumb underneath.
Okay, so you flip it over and use it with your thumb underneath. And I thought about this just a little while ago. Did Apple make it so that those controls flip over and they read right side up if you flip the phone over? Or did they design it just to be a right-handed feature?
Well, it works in both portrait and landscape mode. So one would presume that when you shift from portrait mode to landscape mode, if you're in, say, zoom mode and you're sliding to zoom it, that the numbers for the zoom would rotate. So I would think Apple's pretty thoughtful about user experience
stuff. I bet a steak
dinner
they did, yeah.
I want to believe they did. I will wait.
I bet someone
see.
In the hands-on room has answered that question.
Yeah, and I haven't bothered to go look at reports from people that are in the hands-on room.
Yeah.
But this wouldn't be the first time that Apple has introduced a feature where they thought it out for right-handed people but not left-handed people.
So I got to jump in with a quick question, Dave, because we know what a hands-on room is, but does everybody who's listening?
I would think just, I would. I did assume so, but in case I assumed incorrectly, there were people invited in person to watch the keynote. It was a produced keynote, as they all have been since COVID. And there were people invited to Cupertino to watch that. And some of those people even chose to go to Cupertino to watch it. And those people then, some of them were invited. Probably were invited into a hands-on room. I have not dug into all of that, but the hands-on room where they have all of these devices that you can touch and take pictures of and feel and see how it feels in your pocket and all of those things. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt the flow.
No,
I had.
It's a good flow. It's a great question.
I have to ask Jeff, I don't understand how that button is left-handed or right-handed.
Look at the position of it. It's, so when you're holding your phone in landscape mode with the button up on the top, it's way off to the right as you're looking at your phone. So if you're going to use it with your left hand with the button on top, that means you're now putting your hand over in front of the display probably to get to that button.
Don't you have two hands on the camera?
What do you do? Let me ask this question.
Let me jump in.
And you're not dominant.
Let me jump in.
Because there's two left-handed people here.
My index fingers are on top, right? Am I missing something?
We are.
I'm thinking, do you have a left-handed DSLR? Isn't it the same?
Bingo, yeah.
And look who doesn't use a DSLR because it's too much of a pain in the ass because everything is backwards.
Oh, I don't not use one because it's a pain in the backside. I don't use one because my phone takes amazing pictures.
Well, and there's there's that too.
But it's one of those things. Maybe I'm more ambidextrous than I think I am. I just have adapted in life that the trigger button for an old camera is on the right hand side. If it was on the left hand side, I think you'd wind up with a lot more, unless they were to start trying to copy Android, you'd wind up with your and put the lenses in the middle. You'd wind up with your fingers over the lens, trying to use your left hand and hold it. And
put it right in the middle.
Yeah, I just feel like if it was on the left hand side and I had to use my left hand like this, this motion of moving this index finger left and right or up and down, I don't have that much difficulty with. I guess it doesn't feel that awkward to me. Not to minimize.
No, I get it. But as someone who... Oh, wait. Over. Screw you, Adam. I knew I used the wrong answer the first time. as someone who's very dominantly left-handed...
Right.
There are things that over time you realize, yeah, I really need this to be a left-handed thing or it's not going to work for me.
Gotcha.
And... it's why I use a Kensington Orbit trackball, because it's a completely ambidextrous device. So I could set it up so it works really, really well left-handed. I know. I'm just a bitchy little.
No. I'm just thinking. You know, like, yeah, it's an interesting thing that, you know, I wouldn't have thought about. Again, I think I'm wondering if Apple's thought process on it was, well, you know, if you had a DSLR, the buttons are all on the right. You know, just the way it is. So they're like treating it almost like that. Like, I don't even know. Maybe they just thought it didn't matter, or maybe they're just a-holes.
Well,
this
no
is definitely turning
is
into Mac
friend.
Geek Gab After Dark. We are like, I'm not sure at which point I'm going to decide that, yes, we have to press the explicit button for this particular episode. I think I'm past it, but I'm not so sure.
Idle.
I've done my best to avoid words that that get you an explicit tag. But if that changes and someone else has broken that seal for you, then let me know.
So there was a tip in the keynote, which I latched onto because I love little quick tips, especially the ones that just pass by as though it's something obvious. While the iPhone 16, not Pro, was being introduced, they were talking about how the 16 series, all of it, Pro and not Pro, now has the action button, which is great.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they said, because the action button for Pro users is like, well, you Pro users, you'll figure out what you're going to do with it. But they needed to teach people what to do with the action button that are not Pro users and that are not nerds like us, or that haven't yet become nerds like us. And that was great. But the quick tip blew my mind. They were like, use a shortcut on the iPhone action button so that you can open the calendar during the day and the flashlight at night. And it was like, oh, I never thought about putting logic into a shortcut based on certain time of day criteria, or, and here's the one I thought of, focus mode criteria. If my phone is in sleep mode, I might want the action button to be a nightlight or a flashlight for me versus...
That was cool thinking.
Right?
That it can shift.
Of course it can shift. I mean, it's shortcuts.
After
a certain amount
of time, or, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So I just I when they said that, I was like, well, that's a great little quick tip. So I want to talk about it. So yeah.
Yeah.
It never dawned on me, which is my favorite kind of quick tip are the ones that are so obvious when somebody says it. And then
I supposed to get into the reasons why iPhone for me is the most obvious choice here?
Yeah, you're going with the 16 Pro, yeah. Right? I'm gonna bring up the grid.
Yeah, the iPhone 16 Pro. And I mean, the main reason is I think people who listen to this podcast likely know, but for anybody who doesn't, I made a conscious choice not to update to the iPhone 15 Pro. So I have an iPhone 14 Pro currently. So that's reason number one. And really the main reason, because now what I'm missing is I don't have an action button. I don't have a camera button. I don't have Apple Intelligence. Like, there is a lot in this upgrade for me at this point now. So that's why it seems obvious.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Plus my daughter's iPhone died and she didn't get a hand-me-down last year. So she's due for another hand-me-down.
That makes sense. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I was just going to ask, is this an iOS thing, or is it, I think it's the iPhone 16 thing, which is, if you're trying to tell Siri something and you stumble over your words and go, no, I mean, when they use the example there, not museum, I meant palace, or something along those lines. And instead of printing out everything that you said, Siri goes, oh, you corrected something. I've got your correction and I'm moving forward with your revised statement. I thought that was really a big leap in what has otherwise been way behind in Siri.
That is Apple Intelligence. I've been running it. You'll be able to run it on your iPhone 15 Pro as well,
okay.
Pete.
Okay.
Yeah, the Apple Intelligence features are, to me, like, necessary now.
Leaps and bounds above.
Yeah. And okay. I've had it do that for me. I've also had it, really the best part so far, and maybe it's because this is sort of shoved in front of me and I don't have to go and dig and figure out how to do it with it or be shown a list of features and be like, oh, I didn't know I could do that, is the summaries of either emails or perhaps even more valuable messages. Because it will show you summaries of each message that comes in or each email that comes in. And then you can choose whether or not, obviously, to read the message. And that's also true with CarPlay. It will share a summary of it and then say, do you want to read the whole thing? Where that becomes super valuable is when you're in a group message thread or even a single message with somebody who's quite verbose. But a group message thread where there's a whole conversation that happens without you being part of it. And then
when
suddenly
you get there and there's 116 previous messages
and you get one summary of everything that was discussed in your missed messages. And then, of course, you can go through and read them and you probably will. Yeah. But to just see that summary of like, oh, they're talking about like I have a band group chat and sometimes they're talking about creative uses of the eggplant emoji because we're a rock band. And so we're very, very sophomoric. Right. But other times it's should we play this song in the set on Saturday? How does everybody feel about it? Those to me have two very different priorities. The second one, I'm going to let go until Saturday because that doesn't matter. But the eggplant emoji stuff, I'm going to dive right into because that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to taking advantage of that summary feature for the same reasons. I mean, yes, I have several group chats that I'm in, and some of the people in the group chats, holy crap.
Yeah.
When do they have time for anything else?
Well, my guess is because I feel that way about people in my group chats, and then I'm sure at other times they feel that way about me. It's when I can focus on something, I'll answer questions and do all my things, and then I detach. And I think many of us all do that. That, if I may, feels healthier than stopping whatever I'm doing the moment a text message comes in just to respond to this interruption that did not match my schedule, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a question that's going to require either knowledge or speculation, which is, will it work for, say, WhatsApp chats? Will I get a summary of that, too?
Yes.
Okay.
It works. Well,
very cool.
I haven't seen it with WhatsApp in specific, but I have seen it with Slack. Yeah, it's...
Other than iOS,
correct.
Apple... Other than Apple products.
No, I get it for we have Catlink litter boxes or whatever, and it'll be like, oh, you know, four different cats came to the litter box. You know, it takes whatever the text of the summary is in the note or whatever the text of the notification is and summarizes that. So it's everything.
Yeah. So, and James in the Discord points out it's likely just an API call. So that's how they're.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Adam.
I would think in this case, it's just notifications are part of the operating system. The app sends the notification text to the notification part of the operating system. The operating system is parsing that into a summary.
So developers get this for free.
Yes. It's already there.
For notifications. Yeah. Now, if they wanted to add Apple Intelligence features inside their apps, I'd have to go back and review Worldwide Developer Conference, but I would assume there's APIs and things to tap into Apple Intelligence for your app too. I would hope
that's just cool.
It's so cool. It makes me so happy that I've been running the 18.1 betas on my device. Which,
well, I think I need to stop and start the betas then.
Yeah.
Well, 18. When's it? That's the question. When is 18 coming out?
18 release date is different than 18.1. The 18 release date is September 16th. So that's a week from the day this show comes out, Monday the 16th.
Okay.
We don't know about 18.1. 18.1, in terms of the betas, is what has Apple Intelligence. I don't know if they'll bake some Apple Intelligence features into 18. My guess is no, that it will wait for 18.1 for everybody. But yeah.
NCSUCPEIEIO says 18.1 is Apple Intelligence. That's in Discord.
Well, reminder for people who might not know, and again, one of the reasons why I'm going to upgrade to a new iPhone is Apple Intelligence is only the new A series processor, starting with like the A15 or iPhone 15, iPhone 15 Pro.
A16.
Which is the A16 processor. That's right.
Yeah. Or Apple Silicon
if you're on a Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it, and one other thing that that I noticed that Apple didn't talk about in these, but was mentioned on the summaries for both the iPhone 16 and 16 Pro, is that we now have Wi-Fi 7 in the iPhones, which is, it'll be nice when we get that in the Macs. I think it's even better on a Mac than it is on an iPhone, but nice to see that they're using those chips and all of those things. So,
and I think the number I saw was they, with regards to the watch anyway, the next chip is 35% more efficient energy wise. So it claims a big boost in battery life, but it's the chip helping that along.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's worth mentioning that I almost went, wow, I wonder if I should just be getting an iPhone 16. Cause there's like, oh my God, like this thing really got upgraded. It got the action button. It got the Apple camera button. The processor is a lot improved. It's like 40% faster than the previous generation versus like 15% faster across the board for the Pro models. Like it got a major, major like bump in terms of features and performance.
And we've hardly, except from the button, we have hardly talked about the camera, which even on the, you know, I always go with the Pro Max because you get the three lenses and it's so much better. But the, now, Dave, forgive me, help me out here. Is it computational photography?
Would be the right word.
Okay. Yep. All right. I didn't write it down, so I was pulling back in the file card from earlier today, which is a miracle, actually. It's just so we know. The computational photography and what they've done with the ability to get the wide angle and the two power photo on the lens, the ability of the lens to basically take a picture of you, what you want it to take a picture of, as opposed to what it's seen, is off the charts.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the cameras
guys
that are
some big brains crunching numbers back there.
Well, and they put good cameras in here. Like the, you know, the iPhone 16, not Pro, has a 48 megapixel main camera. And then the which inside of it has a 12 megapixel 2x telephoto camera. Right. And then above it is a 12 megapixel ultra wide camera. So there's a lot of camera. I'm kind of with you, Adam. The things that weren't clear to me about the difference between the 16 and 16 Pro were at the end of the bit about the 16 Pro. They were talking about multi-track layering in the Voice Memos app. And I need to try that perhaps in the Voice Memos app here on iOS 18, because maybe it's been there the whole time. Stereo recording, right? Transcripts, save as. No, it's not there for me. But is it there only on the 16 Pro, or is it on the 16 as well? And if for folks who didn't see it, they noted that a lot of musicians, creators in general, songwriters, let's say, use the Voice Memos app to capture little song ideas. Something about the 16 Pro that might cascade downward to other devices or might not allows you to record an idea and then go back and record a second track of, so you on top of that idea, so multi-track recording. So you could have, like, you could lay down a guitar track and then go back and sing over it and mix those two things together. So it's kind of like, you know, GarageBand-ish, but in a very simplistic way. And I don't know if that's coming to anything other than the 16 Pro. But, and they also said there was a two-stage shutter coming to the camera button, whatever we're calling it. Is that two-stage shutter only 16 Pro, or is it 16? It was mentioned during the section of the 16 Pro of the keynote, but again, wasn't entirely clear. So
my assumption, because they didn't mention it earlier, is that it's just in the Pro.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
We'd seen them do this before, though.
Yeah. And the only reason I say that is because it might have just been for time reasons, you know, like you can only fit so much in one thing and one thing, you know, so much in another.
Yeah.
And so I got distracted at some point. Can someone describe what I remember there were two, basically you can touch it lightly or touch it more firmly, touch it like you mean it, and you get a different action from the camera.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's what they mean by the two-stage button. I mean, there's many things that this camera control can do. It can, if you put it in zoom mode, it can control your zoom. If you put it in, I don't know what the other modes are, but you can have it switch between, you know, portrait mode and this mode and that. It's you know, it's a multifunction button. But the two-stage shutter was the, like on a DSLR where you go down halfway, you know, to set your focus and then you can move, or to set your white balance point and then you can move and set the, you know, compose the image and then take the picture. Are those the right words to use? I'm not a photography person.
Yeah, so James in Discord actually answered it more better. As you're saying, it's modal, but he's saying, and think of it like a DSLR. He said that, but a little press to focus and a full press to snap the shutter.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, so, one thing that I...
Very cool.
I may have conflated with where it was in the presentation or for which model phone, but the thing where you're doing... where you lock in on the subject for your photo, and as you move around, the camera stays locked on that subject, and then it adjusts exposure and all of that. Was that part of the pro demo?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was the two-stage shutter that they said is coming later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a software update. They also talked about something when they were in the Apple Intelligence portion of things. I think it was Craig Federighi, I think, used a term that I had not heard before, and that was personal semantic index.
Right. Yep.
Did you catch that term too, Adam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess what it is it's just collecting all of the text data that you have given your phone locally and using that to feed its local large language model. Is that how you got that?
That would be my assumption. That's what I take it to mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I thought that.
Which is cool.
Yes. Yeah. It's just interesting hearing their terms for these things, because it, like, obviously that's both a marketing and engineering term, right? Like these things, but it's interesting that those are the words they use to describe this. And Apple gets a lot of credit for being privacy focused, but they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. And that's why I say it's both a marketing and engineering term. Like, it, in this sense, the two sort of sit there and match. So,
right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Once again, the camera in this thing, it looks like a really amazing camera that happens to have a phone app and do other stuff too.
Go share your thoughts, Jeff.
Okay, my thoughts are, last year when Apple took away the mute physical switch and replaced it with the action button, that was the year that Apple was telling us that the iPhone is not a phone first anymore. It happens to be a pocket computer that can make phone calls. And that was one that I had to work through emotionally, because iPhone has always been a phone for me first. And this is an extension of that.
Yeah, it they've embraced that this is a camera as a main function. I don't want to say it's primary function, but we might say that.
They almost had to, though, to keep in competition with particularly the Google Pixel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Androids are working on theirs as well, but you know, if the people would go, you know what, I always want a great camera in my pocket. No, I'd happen to like to be able to make phone calls too. So I think Apple was forced down that path, whether they know it or not.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
They know. And yeah.
Which is why they spend money on making the camera good, I guess.
There you go. I think they're holding on to the physical mute switch for a while, longer than they really wanted to, just because they were still looking at iPhone as a phone. But we're at the point now where, except for name recognition and branding, they could call iPhone something else and it would still be accurate.
All right, folks, picture your company's security like the quad of a college campus. You got those neat brick paths, right? So those would be your company-owned devices, your IT-approved apps, and your managed identities. But let's be honest, who actually sticks to the paths, right? People are always taking shortcuts through the grass. So those would be your unmanaged devices, your shadow IT apps, and contractors who act like they're on a secret mission or something. I never understood that. Most security tools only cover the happy brick paths, but the real chaos happens on those grassy shortcuts. Don't get caught with your data wandering off into no man's land. Enter 1Password Extended Access Management. It's the first security solution that grabs hold of all those rogue devices, apps, and identities like a bouncer, you know, for your network. It secures every sign-in on every app and on every device, even that one contractor's sketchy laptop. Yep, that one too. Whether your team's on the straight and narrow or sneaking down the shortcut or a little of both, 1Password's got it locked down. Don't get caught in the security mess. Check it out at 1Password.com/MGG. That's 1Password.com as in the number one, the word password.com/MGG. 1Password.com/MGG. Your data will thank you. And I thank 1Password Extended Access Management for sponsoring this episode. All right. So have you ever found yourself staring at a mountain of text thinking there's got to be a better way? Well, don't get caught counting words by hand or comparing documents like it's 1999. Get BBEdit. I use BBEdit for so many things. Tracking timestamps for the podcast show notes. Yep. Comparing documents. Yep. Coding. And yep. Counting all the words like I'm a text wizard. And BBEdit's minimap palette, it's like having a bird's eye view of my entire document. Because who doesn't want to feel like a text superhero? Plus, BBEdit has these awesome cheat sheets for markdown and clippings. You can even make your own or borrow someone else's. It's like having a cheat code for writing. And let's not forget the repeat last command feature, Command Y. It's so convenient. I think BBEdit might be doing my laundry next. Who knows? Whether you're coding, counting, or just trying to wrangle text, BBEdit has your back. Don't get caught in the Stone Age. Download BBEdit today. Visit barebones.com to get started. You can download the free trial. Check it out. When you're ready to buy, of course, barebones.com/store is where you go. Your text deserves it, and so do you. And our thanks to BBEdit and Barebones for sponsoring this episode.
Tim from Barry P. in Discord. Nike and Canon are going to be putting phones in their cameras.
I like it. I like it.
Well said, Barry P.
Yeah. All right, let's talk AirPods. This was interesting to me. I'm going to kind of dive into the middle of this because I think the hearing aid, well, the hearing health aspect of this is the thing that really jumped out at me. And what's interesting about that is that that's for a product that currently exists, the AirPods Pro Gen 2, right? That's that the whole it can do a hearing test for you, which is validated against Pure Tone audiometry, which is an industry standard for hearing tests, meaning you can do hearing tests at home with this thing on a regular basis as opposed to once in your life. Like, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, get a hearing test once a decade, maybe, or maybe not even. Like, I think we're all, as we age, we're all aware that our hearing changes, aka gets worse. But very few of us bother to go and articulate that until it becomes a major issue for some reason or another, right? Whereas this can really help us kind of see things on the path. What's really cool, though, is now that I think it was October of last year, the FDA allows over-the-counter hearing aids, and the AirPods Pro can be those hearing aids. And what's really cool is it can be a hearing aid with the profile it has created from your hearing test. So you get a
the
bespoke
frequencies that you're missing.
Yes, you get a bespoke profile.
That is super cool. Yeah.
Right. And then on top of that, even if you don't have any hearing loss that needs to be compensated for, I mean, I think we all, again, just aging sort of reduces some of the, certainly the high end, especially, these can act as I'll call them active earplugs. That's going to be my term, not Apple's term. But
there you go.
By that, I mean, you know, when I wear earplugs, I wear musicians' custom fit earplugs that have filters in them that are built to reduce sound equally across the frequency spectrum. This is much better sounding than putting foam in your ear. Foam will protect you. So if you have nothing else, put the foam in, you're good to go. AirPods, if they're sealed properly, will protect you, but they're not currently letting sound through. With the new software, they will let sound through at lower levels. And they said it was being sampled at, you know, 48 kilohertz or something like that. So probably not going to hear any latency. They suggested them both for audience members at concerts as well as musicians on stage at concerts. This is not feeding things. This is not your monitor mix coming into them. That Bluetooth would not be fast enough for. Trust me, I've tried. But certainly just being used as an active earplug, I'm really curious to check this out. And that's my reason for being very interested in getting a set of AirPods Pro Gen 2 now. So,
Dave, I am very, very interested in these AirPods Pro. The update.
Yeah, this is right. The software update to the existing AirPods Pro. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is super cool. And at the same time, I have a very strong emotional reservation to replacing my AirPod Pro Gen 1 because of the buzz thing. Apple burned me on that. They replaced my AirPods, gave me defective AirPods that had the buzz. I took them back in. They tested them and said, yes, these are defective. And here's what it's going to cost for you to buy brand new AirPods because we won't replace the defective AirPods we gave you. And I'm like, well, you just stopped selling me AirPods forever. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they told me last week it was going to be $230 or something to replace my one defective AirPod. And it was like,
yes.
No.
No, we're not
if you
doing
had another
that.
Guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so that being said, I mean, we're on the Pro, obviously, at this point, but yeah. I was impressed.
We'll get to the other ones, sure.
The price on the other ones are nice.
So, okay,
the AirPods.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about the AirPods Pro.
Was the caveat at the beginning of this show?
Go, sorry.
Or are we saving that for the end if anybody's changed their mind? About what they might be.
We'll share that at the end, but you can share it in the middle here too. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Spoiler, you may have changed my mind on this.
Interesting. Huh? Interesting.
But I'll explain why at the end.
I think that we're in the topic. What's the...
Because I actually do have hearing loss. I have tinnitus and I also have mild hearing loss. And a year and a half ago, I went and I got tested and I bought hearing aids. I have hearing aids. I don't wear them because they suck. they're good hearing aids. It's not that they suck. They do their job. They were like $3,000. They were not cheap.
Yeah.
I put them in. You can't even notice them, but the sound is so unnatural and so fake and so amped up and so I'm just like, I'd rather just deal with the little bit of hearing loss that I have than have these things in and have my world sound like it's
artificial.
Modified. Yeah. Yeah, artificial, exactly.
Can you work with your audiologist to retune them or?
Oh, yeah, I've had them tuned. And
okay,
tuned
you've
and
already
tuned
done
and,
that. Okay. Yeah, the problem with a lot of these things, I have a friend who he's a guitar player and last year suffered this thing, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, actually earlier this year, where he basically lost the ability to hear much of anything useful in one of his ears almost overnight. And he's done well for himself and his career, and so he was like, okay, well, what's it going to cost to fix this? You know, here's what I'm going to do. And he looked into cochlear implant replacements, and everybody that had them initially, as he found, was like, said the same thing as you, Adam, that like, you know, it sounds, it's just like grating and it's not, music's not going to sound right. And then he dug deeper and he found that they have cochlear implants for musicians. And the way he explained it to me, and of course this is dumbed down so that I could understand it, is that the cochlea can be thought of as like a piano, where one side of it resonates for the low notes, one side of it resonates for the high notes, and then there's everything else in the middle. And most implants only target like the high middle section, aka that which is built for speech. There are cochlear implants that go the whole range. And yes, your brain still needs to adapt to it, but musicians, they say that it's like one of these things where they'll work with it for a year and then suddenly, boom, your brain has adapted and it sounds like music again to you. And so I'm wondering if there are hearing aids that are, and I'm using air quotes, for musicians that might sound better, but that's not the norm, because it should be the norm, because sound should just be sound. And if the technology is there to be able to hear, why keep this from people? But AirPods are built for music, right? And even the active earplug thing is built for music. So yes, for $300 or less than $300, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem is, I mean, these things are super, super tiny. I mean, there's a part that goes over the back of your ear that's the bulk of, like, the battery and the microphones and all that stuff. But then the part that goes in your ear, and I have a feeling it's more like just the teeny tiny thing that is in your ear, the speaker thing, just doesn't have...
It sucks.
You know, it does the job. It amplifies the sound and you can hear things, but it just sounds so unnatural to me and I don't enjoy wearing them. And it's just like... I'd rather have like the AirPods in and have them sound much better. And my hearing aids have an app. I mean, I can tune them all day long. I can like tweak the patterns and tune them. And I tried everything I could and I got them sounding pretty good where it was kind of okay. But it was never like, it was just, I preferred not having them in, to be honest, because I don't, my hearing loss isn't that extreme.
Well, and if it's not built to reproduce low end, physics is physics, right?
So if the AirPods are going to do that, I have my AirPods in quite frequently and I've used just like the pass through with my current Gen 1 ones and, you know, like that stuff works great, you know? So if it's better than that, like it's worth a try. And even if that doesn't work for me, I've got new AirPods that have, you know, some new features, right? Bonus.
Well, and that's why I'm super interested in the update to these AirPods Pro, because the current transparency mode, I think I would use Adam's word to describe it. It sucks. It just drives me nuts.
It doesn't
feel
natural.
Myself in transparency mode when I've set it so that when people start talking, it turns down the music and lets voices through and that sort of thing. I wind up just taking them out of my ear. It just drives me nuts. It sounds artificial. So I'm real interested to see and hear how this works, especially with the lower end in it. And now that they, like you talked about a couple of years ago, the FDA authorized hearing aids, basically technology, to go into over-the-counter products, I'm super interested in hearing how this turns out. I think it has the ability to be life-changing, particularly if this hearing test can tune it to your ear. And before I relinquish the microphone, I will point out that James in Discord points out that the rightpod.com has affordable replacements for AirPods, Beats, and more. You can get the left or the right or the charging case for a better price. And he says he doesn't know where they're getting their stock, but maybe
it is
the
right one.com.
O-N-E. Yes.
The right one.
Yes, the right O-N-E.com.
Yep. Okay.
So that looks good, but I'm super eager. Let me back up. I'm super eager to try this out for the overcoming my inability to hear voices when there's background noise. That's the thing that is most difficult hearing challenge.
So I think now you have a question. Oh, go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just went real quick because Pete was talking about the, you know, like one thing about that audio pattern test thing. I think I mentioned this on the podcast in the past, but I'll bring it up again. I don't know what's different about the thing that Apple was talking about today. I think maybe that it's built in and Apple has a way to do this hearing test built in. But there was an accessibility feature, and I did this for my AirPods, where you could get a third-party app and have it do an audio test, or get the audio test from, like, if you've gone to your doctor and get the audio test file or whatever, and import that in and tune your AirPods for your you know.
Interesting. Okay.
This is just new. It's the inbuilt thing is now as FDA certified as it needs to be for an OTC, an over-the-counter product. So, yeah.
There you go. Okay. But yeah, I mean, so people who do have older AirPods Pro, you can do this. I forget where to access it, but you can do some searching, but it's through the accessibility features and you can create a pattern specifically for your ears, for your AirPods. And I did this for mine and it was great.
All right. Let's talk about the Gen 4 AirPods. Because that is the new hardware that was released today. I love my Gen 3 AirPods, by the way. They are my favorite AirPods. They are my favorite headset for phone calls. I love being able to hear ambient noise. And they do not seal in the ear. And what's really interesting about the new AirPods Gen 4, they also don't seal in the ear. But they have voice isolation. There is a version of them that you can get with the active noise cancellation for an extra $50. So there's AirPods 4 for $129, and then there's AirPods
4 for $179.
Well, AirPods 4 with active noise cancellation for $179. Yeah. I am super eager to figure out and find out what these are because it seems like that's a tough thing to do without sealing ear.
They almost talked like they came up with a shape that fits everybody's ear, for lack of a better.
They've said that before.
That was the original.
Will it fall out in the toilet?
Original
or not?
Marketing that's the rehashed.
yeah, that's just BS. Yeah. But you know, the fact that they care about that, fine. These won't fit everyone, but hopefully they'll fit most. But the active
noise
cancellation.
As long as they fit me, we're good.
That's it. Yeah. Well, that's how everybody cares, right? It's not, you know, if they say, well, they fit 85% of the people, it's no, do they either fit me or they don't. This is binary.
Or they don't.
That's it. I will say that Comply foam can be your friend with anything that you have to put in your ear. It's little stickers of foam that are built for ear plugs.
Just this thing.
Yeah, just this thing. So I'll put a link to Comply foam in the
nice.
But yeah.
Comply makes some nice add-ons for in-ear stuff.
Oh yeah. No, they make good stuff at Comply. I for my custom built, like I'm wearing now, you know, my custom molded earphones or in-ear monitors, whatever you want to call them. I always feel like I'm cheating if I put Comply foam on them. It's like, if I have to put Comply foam on, I'm going to send them back to the manufacturer and have them tweak the mold for me, which they will do. But otherwise, like, yeah. But yeah, these, and for $179, I would not recommend buying these without the active noise cancellation.
So I've got some $15 skull candies and some $5 clay that comes from Amazon, ear mold. Molded the ear, drilled a hole in it, stuck the, got to make me big. There you go. I stuck the skull candy into the clay before it hardened, took the mold in my ear. There's a focus there. And then drilled a tiny hole in it. And so that's how I get my custom molded.
You got to do a YouTube video on that, man. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm impressed.
Life hack.
I think you could buy a kit on Amazon to do what you did here that already has the you know, the hole drilled and like all the right things.
Okay.
But yeah.
Sure.
Huh? So smart. I like it.
Yeah. I just like the custom fit and the noise the passive noise canceling.
Yeah, yeah. If it seals, it's canceling out noise. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like this was the keynote for the rest of you, not us, because we're the nerds that buy all the like expensive high-end stuff. But I feel like the major upgrades and major value came in the consumer products. Like, again, I was watching the AirPods versus AirPods Pro 2 thing, right? And AirPods Pro 2 really just got a bunch of software stuff. But like the update to the AirPods is... Again, it's a large leap from what they had before in terms of features and functionality and all the stuff you get, you know, USB-C, wireless charging case, you get the speaker on there, you get the like, you know, active noise canceling if you want it, all these other features that are coming to the consumer AirPods. And same thing with the iPhone. Like, I feel like that's where the big value jumps were. Like, if you want most bang for your buck, those are the products that you probably should be looking at. And those are the products that are like for everybody, right? Yeah. That's the entry level stuff. So I was really impressed with Apple doing that. And I feel like the pro stuff got really nice things, but they're definitely much more pro focused. Like, we didn't even talk about like all the cool video AI stuff that they've got on the iPhone 16 Pros, right? The cinematic audio modes and the, you know, all that sort of high end stuff. Yeah. But like, the average person, they don't need that stuff. They're not going to use it. So like, why? You're not going to want to pay for all that junk. You're going to try it once. And I mean, it's really for somebody who's shooting movies on their iPhone, which isn't most of us.
Which is not even those
like
of us
cinematic
here.
Movies. I'm not talking about home movies. I'm talking about like you're shooting stuff for a film festival, you know?
Right. For and Max, you can't afford film a festival. Camera Red. So you use your iPhone 16 Pro.
Right. All right.
But yeah, that's like, amazing.
No, it's great. I don't want to do a last thing because we haven't talked about the watch yet, so we're not wrapping up.
Not on one last thing before we move off of AirPods.
We didn't even
mention their existence is the AirPods Max, which I watched pass by it with mild disinterest and let it go on because, you know, who uses over the ear earphones? If you're interested in those, they look like they're really amazing, but it's just not my thing. So,
well, it's just new colors, right?
That's it.
New colors and USB-C.
Oh, I thought it was better. Yeah, like I said, I was mildly disinterested. So,
yeah, same price, new colors, USB-C.
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So
maybe except for my son who donated his to the seat back on our last vacation. So his Beats.
All right, Apple Watch Series 10. Anyone want to take the lead on this one?
Ooh, they're 20% lighter because the current 9s are so heavy.
The thinner's nicer.
I'm very impressed with this.
I have to bust on it, but they are amazing. Amazing devices.
As a Watch Ultra 2 owner, as the keynote started, I was like, oh man, I would want this over my Ultra 2. I'm like, crap, they're going to make me need to replace my Ultra 2 now. They did not, because they basically brought the regular watch up as far as I use the Ultra 2, they have brought the regular watch up to that.
It's got the scuba stuff in it.
Correct.
Snorkel. I think they said 50 meters.
And it's got the depth gauge. Right. The Tides app, I think, is pretty cool. I do like, at least from what I've seen in pictures, the design of this. And the screen is technically bigger than the Ultra 2
than
screen.
The Ultra.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like,
thanks a lot, Apple.
if I had held out one more year, I would have bought this instead of an Ultra 2, but I'm fine with my Ultra 2. So for now,
well, I mean, the Ultra 2,
boy,
really
they make
cool
you pay
watch,
for the titanium.
So. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
$300. I was wondering, I hadn't looked like how much more is the titanium?
$300.
Yep.
Whoa. So it's $699 for the titanium one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I could have saved a bunch of money waiting a year.
I'll keep the titanium in my jet engine and get the...
Well, you have titanium on your Apple Watch.
It's not even aluminum. Yeah.
You have your titanium on your Apple Watch Ultra, Pete.
Yeah, I do. I'm just saying, you know, to pay $300 more for it, it seems kind of...
No. No.
You know, if you can't lift your arm up because your Apple Watch is too heavy, you've got bigger problems.
Right.
Than whether or not you can afford the Apple Watch. So,
Adam, you said the whole thing, or you said something about this event was for the rest of the people.
Yeah.
And I think part of what plays into that is what we're seeing is new features in Apple Watch 10, plus the new software features that we're getting in the AirPods. Apple is really, really moving forward with their whole health and fitness thing, especially health. I mean, like adding in the apnea detection.
Sleep apnea is huge.
As someone who has to use an APAP machine every time I go to sleep, I would love to see how this this tracking feature works because I've done an actual sleep study, and what Apple described was like, okay, that's cute.
Yeah, what Apple, what's in the watch is for people who do are not aware that they might need a sleep study, and this will tell you it's not track. I mean, it is tracking it night to night, but it's only going to give you monthly sort of guidance on this. Like, hey, you're someone that should go talk to your doctor. You might have sleep apnea. Is what this is doing? Yeah, and I know you know.
I want to see how it works.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. There's the things that they've added in or improving for women's health. We have the hearing test that's just built into the system now, and you know we can go down the line with things that they were showing. That really stood out to me in today's event.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. They had their, I forget her name, the woman who's in charge of Apple Health on there many times.
They did. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing that I really thought cool about the watch, and I'll be interested to see, is the speaker, the new and improved speaker on it, because while 99% of my media is consumed through my AirPods, occasionally when I'm alone, I'll use the phone and leave that out loud. But you know, if my wife is working till midnight and I'll go to sleep listening to a podcast, because you know, podcasts bore me to sleep. Like, no, just kidding. No, I do. I listen to podcasts. Well, I have to have it because my tinnitus. I cannot have a quiet room.
Got it.
And I would likely, if the watch is there, I wear my watch to sleep. And I think if they're saying, hey, this is good for podcasts and that kind of stuff, that the speaker's that much better, I'll be interested to see if it's, you know, not this tinny little tiny, or if it's got enough to it.
Dr. Sumbul Ahmad Desai, Adam, is her name.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, yeah. So again, in a world, I'm just curious, in a world where an Apple Watch Series 10 Titanium is $699 and an Apple Watch Ultra 2 Titanium is $799, who's buying the Apple Watch 10 Titanium?
It's thinner. Like the Ultra, well.
With a bigger screen than the Apple Watch 2?
Yeah, the Ultra 2 is Ultra chunky, 2. Right? I think it's a fashion choice. Versus,
yeah,
like,
got you.
You know what I mean? I can totally see the Ultra 2 looks like an Apple Watch Ultra 2. It looks rugged, even
fair,
even with that new Milanese loop band that they came up, and especially the new black titanium. What do they call that thing? The I know they anyway, whatever that color
Milanese
is.
Loop.
Well, satin black is the color of you can get the watch in satin black now too. That's nice, but still, it's got the flat screen. It's got hard edges. It is, you know, it's chunky. Whereas the Watch Series 10 in either aluminum or titanium is much sleeker, rounded. So I can see where someone that wants the elegance of the titanium, the Apple Watch Ultra is not elegant. There's nothing about it that's elegant. It's a chunky wristwatch.
Fair.
Is what it is.
But it's still a fashion statement.
It is
and
its
Apple
own fashion.
Totally leaned into it this year.
I mean, so is like a Rolex or a Hublot watch. A lot of those are really chunky watches. It is a fashion statement for sure, but it's not sleek and elegant. It's right out in front. It's like, hey, look at me. I've got hard edges and I'm big and thick and chunky and you're going to like it, you know. And a lot of people do. I do too. It's like, it's a thing. It's one of the reasons I like the Ultra. So,
fair. That watch is, the titanium one is kind of sexy looking.
Yeah, it really is. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm my daughter's getting one. She doesn't know it yet, but she's getting one because she lost hers in the med. And I'm
titanium
really one? Eager to see that watch.
Your kids have a habit of losing pricey Apple devices.
Expensive stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So she went snorkeling with Debbie and hopped off the boat, and it went boom off her wrist, down 20 feet into 2-foot seagrass.
Don't you have AppleCare Plus?
Not on the watch. It was probably 2 or 3 years old. So
don't get the month. Can't you get the month to month?
I don't know. That's a good
question. Can't you go snorkeling with Find My and track the watch in the grass?
Right. No, seagrass, 20 feet of water.
Oh.
Yeah, it was 20 feet under the ocean.
No, because I'm not replacing my devices every year. I've moved to getting the AppleCare month to month on everything so that I always have AppleCare.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's interesting. Right. If you're not replacing your devices every year or if you're handing them down to family members or whatever. Interesting. Yeah.
Huh. That's something I've been contemplating.
What kind of price is it?
It's
what are you paying?
Depends on the device and depends on the device and what it is. Like on my iPhone, I want to say it's $10 a month or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But
that's cheaper than $1,100
until you cancel the AppleCare. Yeah. And I think it all comes with, if I'm not mistaken, I think it all comes with theft and loss protection. You pay more of a premium.
Sure.
Like it's not a full replacement cost of a device, right?
Yeah.
It's an insurance policy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on the Apple Watch while we're here? No.
I'm glad the rumor that the watch band attachment was going to change was false.
Same.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
Same.
One last thing. 30 minutes to charge. Boom.
30 minutes to 80%. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yep. I agree. All right. Do we still know what we're buying here before we say goodbye? We'll go in the same order, Adam. So you're on the iPhone 16 Pro and now maybe AirPods Pro Gen 2?
I probably will get AirPods Pro Gen 2. I mean, I have the original first gen and I've been thinking about replacing them. And now that you said, oh yeah, the hearing aid stuff, because I kind of skimmed through the keynote and I caught that, but I didn't really think about the significance of it, especially for me. Like I said, it's worth the cost of entry to just even try it and then just have some of the new features of the AirPods that I don't have currently, you know? So like that's worth the upgrade price. I've had my AirPods first gen long enough that, you know, I don't feel bad replacing them and I can hand them down, you know, to another family member. So yeah, I think probably I'll be getting both. I might even be ordering the AirPods cause I think they're available now, right?
You can order those now.
So I'll probably even just order them. Even after this show.
Well, I mean, the AirPods Pro Gen 2, you've been able to buy for a year. You might even be able to find them on Refurb. In fact, that's the play. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Refurb or Best Buy or, Open Box.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Open Box.
Yeah. Saruman is not to be shared.
That's true. However, a lot of the open box stuff you buy on Best Buy is actually never an open box. Right. A lot of it is stuff that was like a big corporate purchase. They didn't use everything, sent it back. That's how I got my Magic Trackpad 2. Oh. It had never been taken out of the plastic wrap packaging. It was provisioned. Apparently, you can provision these things for a company. So I had to change that when I took it out of the packaging. But yeah, that's a thing.
All right. I'll put a link to Best Buy open box deals in the...
No refurb. I just still would be afraid of buying anything refurb that might have been in an orifice.
You know, that's good life advice right there.
Pilot Pete, oddly, I'm going to you to save us from this conversation.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
From that, right? Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk it? But for starters, I was misinformed. I assumed there was an AirPods Pro hardware. And so it's the update to the software on them. So I'm eager to try that software. I'm leaning in really hard on the iPhone 16 Pro Max because I had the biggest, the best. Now, actually, Adam may have convinced me to try the iPhone 16 because, you know, looking at that camera, what they've done with the camera, I don't need the Pro Max anymore. That's my main reason for going to the big phone.
So would you said iPhone 16, would you do 16 or 16 Pro?
16 Pro.
Got it. Yeah. Oh,
but not the Pro Max.
All right.
just because of what they've done with the camera. They've, you know, Apple's kind of priced themselves out of the market there.
Yes.
And then I said for my daughter, obviously the Watch Series 10, super thrilled to see what that thing can do, even if I'm not the one wearing it.
Yeah, I'm looking here just to check this, Pete. So I have the 16 Pro Max and the 16 Pro up in comparison mode. There is no difference between the two cameras on these two, from what I am reading here. They are exactly the same.
I thought they called that out during the keynote.
They probably did. You're probably right. Yeah, same zoom options, same. I mean, it's like copy paste. Huh.
Wait, was he saying iPhone 16 Max versus 16 Pro, or the 16 Pro Max versus the large iPhone 16?
So usually I wind up buying the larger phone because it's got a better camera system, but with the 16 Pro, they've done what I needed to do with that. So I can go with a smaller phone. I'll be happy with that. Although the Pro Max, I've been having them for years, and they all fit in my pockets, and I've never had a problem with them. I love them. Bigger is better.
All right, so you're doing the, you might change to just the iPhone 16 Pro. You already have AirPods Pro Gen 2, is that right?
I do.
Oh, so you don't need to buy those. All right, and then the Apple Watch Series 10 for your daughter. All right, Jeff.
Yeah.
Are you still on the probably 16 Pro and maybe Series 10 watch?
I'm still on the 16 Pro, not Max. And even the 16 Pro, though, the screen, it's too big. I wish we could get that smaller, but we can't, so it is what it is. No on the watch. As we've been talking, while I would love to try some of the new features, I don't think there's enough happening in the new model that's significant enough to make a difference in my life. However, even though I'm emotionally against iPods Pro 2 because
AirPods.
I was burned. Oh, see, Apple really needs to fix their naming. AirPods Pro 2 because I got burned on the AirPods Pro 1. I'm thinking more about what do I need to work through to get over that, because the software feature updates.
Point to the Apple Store where they hurt you, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm going to point on the Apple Store where they hurt me. Yes,
I did notice that website, that the rightone.com for replacement AirPods. Yeah. It was $59 for my replacement AirPod Pro Gen 1 for a right ear. So that's way cheaper than Apple's option. So, you know, yeah. Anyway. All right. So this is interesting. Well, I feel like your healing began here, Jeff. Like this is geek therapy.
It's a process.
Today.
Geek therapy.
So,
And where are you, Dave?
And you, Dave.
Yeah. I am torn. The iPhone 16 versus the 16 Pro, it is still smaller, which I like, because the 16 Pro gets a little bigger. The camera systems, comparing the two of them, I don't get telephoto with the 16, which I do get with the 16 Pro, and I don't get 120 frames per second with 4K video. So, you know, there's that. But I get everything else.
You know
else.
What I noticed there?
What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just looking, does it get spatial photos and video? And
it does.
And it does.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And it gets all the Apple Intelligence features. So I don't know. I gotta think more about this. It's
for a lot less money.
Yeah.
So what are the prices? Like, we didn't talk about them.
Hey, Dave.
The prices are $799 for the 16, $999 for the 16 Pro, $1,199 for the 16 Pro Max. So saving $200. Like, That might be the difference between, do I buy the 16 Pro for Lisa, or do I buy us just both 16s and go? And then Lisa could get the pink one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave, you might be convincing me, like, because, like, I'm now thinking, do I get a 16, save the $200, and that basically covers my AirPods.
And I'm definitely doing the AirPods Pro Gen 2, so I've changed from maybe to definitely. But I might... I might go with, there was one year where instead of getting whatever the expensive iPhone Pro was, I got, I guess it would have been the iPhone 10 Pro or whatever. I got the iPhone XR, whatever that was. And right, yeah. I was really happy with that device for however
still
long
a good
I
phone.
Had it. Still a good phone. I know. And I would get an iPhone.
Is that not your camera?
What's that?
Is that not your camera?
My camera is the iPhone 13 mini. My webcam is
13 mini.
That's right. Yeah. So, okay.
You know, the thing that's keeping me from saying I should just jump in on the 16 versus 16 Pro is that I realized after I left Mac Observer and didn't have the need to have the newest things all the time, I didn't feel compelled to buy a new phone every year or even every other year. I'm still rocking a 12 Pro and it's still working great.
Yeah.
I've got
but I don't
to say
get AI
that.
And I don't get, and I'd like to have the higher end cameras that are available now in the 16 Pro.
Yep.
So let me say about that real quickly, Jeff. We just went on vacation to Europe and my wife has a 12 and I've got the 15 Pro Max and she would take a picture and I would take a picture of the same thing. And she was universally every time going, damn, your camera is so mm-hmm. much better. It's the pictures are amazing. And it's hard to believe that in 3 years, the cameras are that much improved.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. The photos that come out of this 15. So I can only imagine that the 16, you know, they keep throwing numbers at this thing, literally to crunch numbers to make
mm-hmm.
the mathematical camera photography working. And
See, that's the main reason I end up upgrading phones. Yeah. I have discovered it's because I want a better camera. But now there's also the AI stuff that I don't get because
but
now there's also the 16. AI stuff
uh-oh.
That
what's
I
happening?
Don't get because I'm not on a 16.
Why am I getting
uh-oh.
Multiple
what's
audio?
Happening?
Uh-oh.
It's happening
why,
to all
why am I getting
I thought it was just Jeff.
I just muted Adam's signal and the audio echo went
and
away.
And it fixed?
And it fixed. Yep. So lucky
so
guess.
Adam's not in linear time right now.
No, Adam's not really part of the show right now.
He's about 4 seconds ahead of us, I think.
I think he's frozen over there, and we're getting audio echo from him. So I think we might end this episode without Adam, because I think we're at the end. Folks,
this
let
is
us.
The end, my
yes.
friends.
No, it's not that kind of end. No, no. It's just the end of the episode,
okay.
Pete. It's okay.
Oh, good. All right.
Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Feedback at MacGeekGab.com. Send us what you're getting and why.
What? What did he say, Jeff?
He said something about feedback at MacGeekGab.com and send all the words there. Yeah.
Okay. Send the words to feedback at MacGeekGab.com. You can do it, folks. And while you're doing it, share the show with a friend.
I like it. Please share the show with a friend. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to everybody on the live stream who provided input and help and assistance in making this happen. We were all producers of this episode, and I am super thankful for all of that. Thanks to CashFly for providing all the bandwidth to get the show from us to you. Jeff, tell people where they can find you, please.
Oh, sure. How about Jay Gamut on the various social medias? And tons of podcasts. Just
there you go.
I'm out everywhere.
Amazing. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Thanks for listening. It's amazing. Thanks to all of our premium contributors. It's awesome. Jeff.
Dave.
Do you have 3 words to share with us maybe before we say goodbye?
I have so many words to share, but I'm going to edit it down to, hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff.
Don't get caught.
Thanks.
Made on a Mac.
That's good advice. Adam, I hope everything's okay with your computer there, and we'll see you next week, folks. Later.